Good evening, everyone. My name's Bill Prince. I'm the events coordinator for the Buddha Society, and I've got a few announcements for tonight. While the monks and nuns are away on their 3 months range retreat, July to late October, we will have some interesting guest speakers coming to give the Friday night talks. Tonight's speaker is Cecilia Mitra, and the topic for the talk will be If Not Now, Then When. She is also the author of a book called Opens Like a Flower, Cut It with a Knife, a Buddhist mother's journey with grief. Next week's speaker is Sandra Henville, leading the meditation, and Linda McGuire, our vice president, giving the Dhamma talk. On the 15th of October, we will have a Bayan event led by the Sai Young Adults Australia community group. Bayans are devotional songs that produce spiritual vibrations and lead to great joy, both on those who actually sing and also on those who hear the songs. Introduction to meditation classes for October will start tomorrow, 3 p.m. in the community hall. No bookings required. Question and answer. Dhamma discussion session conducted by Gita Mendes is scheduled for this coming Monday, the 4th of October at 1 p.m. to be held in the center here. Questions for discussions can be emailed to lucky@bswa.org. And that's followed by Jacob's meditation from 2 till 2:45. Katrina Dates, Kushala Hermitage, is doing a fundraiser on the 10th of October here at Dhammaloka. Bodhinyana will be doing a Katrina at Ghana Grove on the 24th of October. And Dhammasara will be doing their Katrina at Dhammasara on the 31st of October. Ajahn Brahm returns to Dhammaloka for the weekend of the 22nd of October. And Ajahn Brahm will be visiting Nanap and Margaret River on the 31st of October. Please see website events for details. And the Dhammaloka subcommittee is seeking volunteers for the position of volunteer coordinator and gardening coordinator and volunteers. And following complaints from the neighbours at Albany, if anyone is visiting Albany Hermitage, please ensure to call 9844 6666 and speak to Venerable Mudu or email greatsudden@bswa.org. Please do not follow Google Maps instructions as they take you to the neighbouring property and the neighbours are sick and tired of telling people where to go. Over to you, Cecilia.
Thank you, Bill. So tonight we will start with a 30-minute meditation. At the end of 30 minutes, I will ring the gong and we will do, we'll have a Dhamma talk followed by question and answers. So if you could close your eyes, sit in an upright position, we will start with awareness of the body. Feel the back, your backbone touching your seat. Go up your spine, through your neck, to the top of your head, through your forehead. Feel the tension, there's any tension, just relax. Through your eyebrows. Your eye socket. Down to your cheeks. Down to your chin. To your neck. To your shoulders. Relax your shoulders. If there's any tension, just be aware of it. Try to relax. Up to your chin again. Through your lips. Through your nostrils. Feel the air going in and out. Be aware of where you are. You've taken time to be here for this meditation. Give yourself the space, the time. And remind yourself, if not now, then when? If you have any thoughts of the past, gently let it go. Anxiety or worries about the future, let it go. Stay with your breath. It's nearing the end of the meditation. I'm going to ring the gong 3 times, and at the end of the 3rd gong, you may open your eyes. How do you feel? My name is Cecilia Mitra. I'm a long-standing member of the Buddhist Society. I have been president of the Buddhist Society before. And I also was president of the Federation of the Australian Buddhist Councils. It's nice to see some new faces here today. Today my talk is, if not now, then when? These are very meaningful words to me, and these words I reflect upon daily. At the start of my meditation, or when I want to postpone doing something important, I ask myself, if not now, then when? How many of us save our favorite things for later, for a special occasion? That favorite shirt or skirt, that favorite cup or jewelry, or candle. We want it to last as long as possible, so we save it for later without enjoying it right here and now. How many of us postpone telling the ones we love that they are important, that we are appreciative of them, or just call to say thank you to someone who is important to you? Before going to bed, do you tell yourself, if I don't wake up tomorrow, do I have regrets? Will I have regrets? If you have a bucket list, have you started doing it? Are you sure you have time? Why not now? These words, if not now, then when, were often said to me by my son. When I was busy and I thought I had time, plenty of time. But one morning I woke up and he was dead. He died of a heart attack. So very often in life, death happens. We lose loved ones when we least expect it. In the last 3 years, I have lost three loved ones. My son, my brother last month, also of a heart attack, and my brother 2 months ago and my mother last month. So all three people are different age groups. Old, middle-aged, and young. So with different relationships, different ages, whether you expect that person to die or is it a sudden death, our reactions are different. Our emotions are different. For my son, it was a shock. I woke up in the morning and I just found him dead. For my brother, he had a heart attack as well. It's genetic, it runs in the family. I had a call from my sister-in-law saying that he was in the ambulance or he was in hospital. So that afternoon I went to the hospital and he was dead. For my mother, she was old. Her body was failing her. She had dementia. So when she died, it was not unexpected. And of course, the suffering was different. Loss and separation, whether it be due to death, terminal illness, divorce, financial loss of reputation, they can leave us in negative states, negative emotions. And if we are not ready, we can suffer a lot if we're not ready to expect change and if we don't understand impermanence. From a Buddhist perspective, we shouldn't be surprised. Impermanence is one of the three characteristics of existence, after all. At a deeper level, the words, if not now, then when, are very profound. And it applies to our spiritual journey. It's about realizing that if there's any possibility of enlightenment, it's right here and now. It's not to be postponed. The future results from our good actions now. Good deeds bring a good rebirth. Bad deeds bring an unfortunate rebirth. There is no better time to apply the Buddhist teachings than right now. When we experience suffering, traumatic loss, it's an opportunity for us to understand right view, to understand that we can never get away from suffering, no matter how much we plan, no matter which God we pray to. But we can change our attitude in how we respond to any given situation, how we can change the negative emotions of denial, anger, depression, anxiety to positive emotions. We can feel freedom and peace right here and now, and we can be in the heavenly abodes right here and now. We don't have to wait till we die to be in heaven. That is, if we emotionally, we can reside in these heavenly abodes, no matter what happens to us. We cannot change what's happening around us, but our minds can emotionally reside in these heavenly abodes. Now, it doesn't just happen like that. We need to develop and we need to cultivate our minds to be in these heavenly abodes. Daily meditation brings peace and insight into our lives, and we can develop our emotions, change the negative emotions to positive emotions. So what are these positive emotions? What are these heavenly abodes? The Buddha described this as the highest emotions, the divine emotions, the divine abodes, metta, karuna, mudita, and upekkha. These are Pali terms, and their English translations, metta meaning loving kindness, karuna meaning compassion, mudita meaning sympathetic joy, and upekkha meaning equanimity. These divine states or these divine abodes are referred to as the Brahma Viharas. Brahma meaning heavenly being or God, Vihara meaning dwelling or home or palace. In this context, not a physical dwelling, but an emotional dwelling, a space that we can emotionally move into, move in and dwell in these beautiful states. And if we practice enough, it becomes a reality. It becomes a habit, and the habit will become a reality. And no matter what happens, we can maintain balance. We all go through loss and grief at some point of our time in our lives. We'll suffer from ill health, terminal illness, cancer, divorce, death. Whatever form of loss. And when we go through loss and grief, we sometimes go through what is called the stages of grief. The stages of grief are often referred to as denial, anger, depression, guilt, anxiety. They are dark places, and they rob us of our joy and energy. When my son died 3 years ago, my emotions circled through denial, anger, anxiety, depression, guilt. And it would circle round and round in no fixed manner until finally I had a feeling of gratitude. A positive feeling of gratitude. Gratitude that I had 30 years in a loving, happy relationship. For me, in my healing process, I had to dwell in the dark spaces and lay low for a while to understand that negative emotions are temporary too, and they too will pass. But I had to make that active effort and ask myself, if not now, then when? When will I let go of these negative emotions? It happened gradually, but it did happen as I made a positive effort to embrace the divine emotions as medicine or antidote for the negative emotions I was going through. We cannot control what happens to us, but we can change and shape our responses for our own happiness. It's what Viktor Frankl, a Nazi German survivor, calls the last of human freedoms, the freedom to choose your response no matter what happens to you. It doesn't matter what we expect from life, but what life expects from us. So experiencing loss and hardship often offers us a unique opportunity to understand suffering at its root, that we cannot escape suffering by shutting down into a dark hole of negative emotions or running away, but accepting what we cannot change. What has happened has happened. We can, however, change our attitude and be at peace with the suffering. Understanding that human life is very precious and that we have to continue our journey with a renewed attitude, with right view. So, what are these divine abodes and how can it help us transform our negative emotions to positive emotions? How do they act as antidotes? Metta. What is metta? Metta is unconditional love or loving kindness. It's having unconditional love or opening of the heart. No matter what you have done to me, no matter what you have done or not done, I still love you unconditionally. And metta begins with oneself. It is not uncommon for bereaved parents to feel guilt, a lot of guilt, for the sheer fact that they have outlived their child. So, you know, guilt is anger turned towards oneself. When my son died, I had a lot of guilt and I had a lot of anger. And generally, I'm not an angry person, but I could feel a lot of anger rising. And my smile had turned in the opposite direction. I had an inverted smile. And so if you can't love yourself and have metta for yourself, don't even try with others. You know? One day I looked in the mirror and I realized I don't recognize this person in the mirror. So at that point, I remembered the story that Ajahn Brahm often tells us. The Metta and the angry demon. I'm sure a lot of you have heard the story, but I shall tell you the story again in case you haven't heard it. But if you've heard it, why not listen to it again? So when the king left the palace, this demon came into the palace, and the demon's food was anger. It became bigger with anger. And so when the palace guards tried to shoo off the demon with anger and resentment, the demon got bigger. With more resentment and anger and hatred, the demon got even bigger and bigger until it finally almost occupied the palace. Then the king was summoned back. And the king, or queen in this case, was a wise one and decided to shower the demon with metta, lots of loving kindness. And the more loving kindness it showered, the smaller the demon became until it finally dissipated. I realized that that demon was my own anger. And so I decided to give metta to myself. And it doesn't really matter how you do it. It's very strange to be looking at yourself in the mirror and smiling at yourself. But it worked. I soon was able to smile again, and I was able to give metta to others, and I was able to help other bereaved mothers as well, as soon as I was able to forgive myself for the sheer fact of having outlived my child. And it's strange because many people have not experienced this unconditional opening of the heart, true and profound loving kindness all beings, having no conditions attached, has endless benefits. Now, the second divine abode is Karuna, often called compassion. And compassion is not just for others. You have to have compassion for ourselves. Compassion is the subset of loving kindness. Having metta helps with the emotion of compassion. But compassion must come with wisdom. Karuna doesn't mean, or compassion doesn't mean, suffering with that other person. It's about having the wisdom to understand that you cannot grieve with that person. Then you're not effective. And Karuna is a divine emotion. So it is not grief or not a negative emotion. There is no element of grief or suffering in compassion. It's a heavenly abiding and is not a negative state. We must realize that suffering is a fact of existence. And we can use this as a positive way for ourselves as well as for others. We're not happy that people are suffering, and if we can, we help them. If not, we wish them well and radiate love without discrimination. No one can take away the suffering of another. They must themselves go through it. When I was a practicing lawyer, my job was to solve other people's problems. And some had big problems, traumatic problems. I had to listen to them and if I could help them when possible, but never to take on their problems as mine because they were not my problems. And quite often, in divorce cases, there would be so much anger and hatred amongst the couples. They were in a toxic, hellish state. And this made the divorce more difficult, and it made the lawyers richer. And I thought, if only they could have more metta and karuna for themselves, it would be much easier for them, and especially their children, who are probably living their hellish battles. So always use wisdom and compassion and understand that all situations are different. In abusive relationships, compassion for oneself and for the abuser may mean moving away from the abuser. And these divine abodes are interrelated and not exclusive. The third divine abode is mudita, or sympathetic joy, feeling happiness and joy in the success of others. Sympathetic or appreciative joy for all beings and sharing their good news or success. Enjoying and celebrate the happiness of others without discrimination or without judgment, whether they're ethical or they're doing something right. You know, when we have compassion for someone, we never ask, is that ethical? We just feel sorry for that person and we try to help them. But when it comes to mudita, sometimes there's discrimination. Imagine if you were told by your partner that he or she wants to leave you because your best friend is better than you and they've been having a relationship behind your back. Do you think you can say, I wish you joy and happiness? It's pretty hard, isn't it? But actually, if you could, you would actually be in a heavenly state, because one, you'd not be angry and be in that dark hole, but two, they deserve each other. And even for a short while, they can be happy, why not? Mudita is an antidote for envy and jealousy. It's a very difficult emotion because when we've grown up with the fact that we have to be competitive, we have to be first in class, first in the race. I mean, imagine if you were in class and you were the last in class. Can you really feel happy for the first person, the person who came in first? Or if you lost the race, you're the loser. Can you feel happy for the winner? If you can, you've actually won. You've won. It's a win-win situation because you can rejoice in the winnings, even though you came in last and you lost the competition. When you are in the positive emotion of joy and happiness, even when you should feel envious and angry, you are in heaven. Finally, upekkha, or equanimity. It's not about apathy or being indifferent, but accepting that this is what it is, without anger or depression or anxiety or resentment. Upekkha is having an attitude of profound balance, gratitude, and acceptance of things as they are. Upekkha, together with metta, karuna, and mudita, help us accept things that we cannot change and be grateful for what we have. So what I've been saying is that no matter what happens to us, we can still be at peace and in a heavenly abode if we are able to change our attitude and use the Brahma Viharas as an antidote for the negative emotions. So that's the talk, and if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer you if I can. Any questions?
much, Cecilia, for this wonderful talk. It's excellent.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it very much.
Okay.
Great, thank you, Cecilia.
So, you're free to go to the Dhamma Hall for tea and a chat. Thank you.